We're the Bungie Kids with plasma pistols glowing. It's our podcast show with Brian and friends
and Frankie. You're listening to the Bungie Podcast, and this is the first podcast of 2008. Joined today by, as usual, Luke Smith and Brian Gerard, myself, Frank O'Connor. We have a couple of special guests today. First off, Harold Ryan, the studio manager and ostensibly the king of Bungie.
Long awaited. Yeah, the last time we were going to have Harold, we had this whole big plan. Right before we were all going on holidays, we had it scheduled. We're going to do it a week before.
And it all fell apart. It's not like Marty, where, like, you think it's going to be a big deal, but then he shows up whenever. This is a big deal.
But it was a legitimate issue that prevented us from doing our 2007 wrap-up show that we were really looking forward to. So,
yeah, Harold broke the computer with his mind.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's been a couple weeks since the last show, but it's good to be back.
What are you looking at me for?
Because you're the producer of the show.
Yeah, but Frank's hosting.
Come on, you're the one with the magic.
No, the computer has the magic.
All right, well, let's get things started. We closed out the year with the release of our DLC.
What a year it was.
It was a big year. We released a game and our first DLC pack.
That's right. It was a busy few months.
Yeah, and then we all went on vacation.
Oh, and we also seceded from the union as well.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of all that, we did a little thing like spinning out from Microsoft.
We became the largest publisher of video games.
All right. According to Frank O'Connor, we're a publisher. Therefore, we can make more money.
No, for people who don't know, we spun out from Microsoft Studios. There isn't really a better way to say it. And we're now effectively an independent game developer, not part of the Microsoft Game Studios umbrella. However, we're still making 360 games for Microsoft, so not a lot's changed in our day-to-day lives, right?
I think Harold's a lot more stressed than he used to be.
Yeah, well,
he doesn't look that stressed to me. It looks like he had a very relaxing day yesterday.
I have to manage a lot more marketing and PR people now than before.
It's true.
Yep.
So how do you want to do this, Luke?
We have Harold, and Harold has like a storied lore. He's a seasoned veteran.
I agree.
I mean, there's all kinds of good stories. Where do you even start?
We start at the beginning. Harold is he's probably pretty unusual in the video games industry, I think, in that he got to the very, very top from test. Now, he didn't start at the very, very bottom either. Do you want to explain that, Harold?
Well, I did start out as a contract software tester in the games group and worked on Hellbender. And I got to build the hardware compatibility team there, worked my way up in servitude to many game developers as we published their games at Microsoft until I was absorbed into Bungie. And managed, as Chucky would say, to reach into the heart of the studio, strangle it to death, and impose my Microsoft-trained will onto the poor little studio. Of course, then I saved the studio from
Microsoft. So basically you're Anakin Skywalker, and you betrayed and murdered Microsoft from a certain point of view. Yeah.
I have the high ground. Don't do it. Don't do it, Harold.
What is the high ground in this scenario? I don't even know.
That's a multiplayer map.
That's Halo 3.
Yeah,
so
no, there was no strangling in the relationship. We've set up a better, more cohesive relationship.
10 to 12 years of Microsoft time prior to the Bungie? Like, you've been at Microsoft a long time before Bungie. You've shipped like a dozen plus games, right?
Yeah. With the disintegration from Microsoft I effectively resigned 5 days before my 10-year anniversary as a Microsoft employee.
Wow.
Did it take? Did you not get your, like, don't they have, like, a 10-year t-shirt or badge or something?
Do you still get your little clock or
I didn't get a 10-year gift. I did get invited to the 10-year dinner, but I decided not to go.
Yeah. Might have been a little awkward.
Yeah. It's like at Microsoft, the 10-year anniversary is like you and 15,000 of your closest friends show up for dinner.
Yeah. So. And they're all wearing khaki shorts and a Microsoft golf t-shirt, right? So
your ship at plaque is loaded, isn't it?
It's like all blinged out, like a pimp cap.
I have a couple that are full.
You have that framed thing in your house too. It's sort of like when you have like a platinum album, you know, and you have a collection of MGS Xbox games, I think.
The one I have hanging up is actually for the Age of Empires series.
All right, the whole franchise. Yeah,
that's the ensemble team did for everybody who worked with them on Age One and all of its iterations and Age Two. So
I mean, do you think, obviously, like Frank said, you've been all over the place, I think, over the years, mm-hmm. and do you think that sort of helped to prepare you for the just unpredictability and
the cat chaos of,
and the drama of trying to keep this studio rolling?
Yeah, I think the thing that did it the most is I was on the release cycle of every game MGS shipped for about 7 years, and so I really got used to, you know, making, you know, short time, high impact decisions, how to find bugs, how to get the bugs fixed, and learn how to work more than most people are capable. And I think if anything, that was what got me to being in charge of Halo 2 and then Halo 3 was I was the last man standing. Nobody else could drink as much or stand up as long. So that was it.
That is true.
Yeah.
But that means what you're saying is that you were normally in at the worst part of every single game schedule for Microsoft stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're just seeing the...
When I think of... in my head of crunch, which, right. you know, we refer to like that final project phase where people are working around the clock. It's super intense. Usually the best work is all coming together. Harold just brings up imagery of crunch to me. I mean, it's...
Yeah, and full-time
cracking
crunch,
the whip. He's got the megaphone. He's keeping the beer cooler right. stocked.
Running the countdown clock.
I mean, maybe not so much anymore, but secretly, you kind of like that, right? I mean, it seems like you're in your element when everything's just firing, it's high pressure, it's pedal to the metal, people are getting shit done.
Yeah, I'm definitely a very result-oriented person, and certainly at the end of the project is when you can actually finish things and close them out. And
I noticed there was one of the GDC sessions, somebody's doing a talk about my secret addiction to crunch. You know, we talk about like a bad thing, but like some people literally love it, and it's hard, they don't know what to do when they're not in crunch.
Well, there's aspects of it are good, but, you know, your problem with your old job was you would always be in on somebody else's crunch.
Yep.
So that must have been draining.
Yeah, and always on someone else's game. So there was a lot of times where you would see the same – you would deal with the same issue over and over and over again. The thing that really drove me to move into a development team from the shared service group at Microsoft was that I could actually iterate and make improvements so that I could crunch the next time but end up with a better result. And I think that's really where Bungie is at this point, where we constantly are iterating and pushing but getting better every time.
Yeah, and I think I was going to say that a lot of people who think about tests think it's a sequence of finding errors in the game and pointing them out to someone who then fixes it, but it's not. It's an iterative improvement process on the game. It's one of the things that makes the game good in the end.
Yeah, I mean, one of the main things I always pushed for as a test manager was not to wait for the developers to make bugs, like, you know, setting up build sites, build systems, good process for tracking code. When I came into Bungie, I managed the SourceSafe database for the studio. We built a build site for the studio. It was sort of like you look at all the things that cause pain, that cause bugs, and eliminate as many of those as you can. And you know, in game development, there are so many pieces and people involved. Just that process puts bugs into the game. So.
What I'm curious, what was your real life, like, first impression after being a Microsoft guy? And here all of a sudden, here come these guys from Chicago that I imagine at the time, some of them were excited, most of them were probably a little bit bitter, a little bit maybe resentful, a little bit on edge. Like, how was that, how did that relationship kind of kick off?
For me, it was actually a little easier at first because I got slated to help the Bungie team all get new machines.
Oh, so they liked you.
So I showed up when everybody was, you know, I think Alex didn't like to spend a lot of money if he didn't have to. And so, you know, they pretty much had slow machines. And there was only like a year.
So you had Uncle Bill's credit card and you walked in and it was just I'm like, handing out machines for everyone.
I'm like, you don't have, I forget, that was the first like 133 megahertz buses, I think.
I think that was
you don't have a Pentium?
That's the machine that we just gave Luke when we hired him, right? Yeah, it's the same one.
Yeah. That's what we're recording the podcast.
Yeah. It's a 386 DX, though. It's
not. No.
you threw in the math coprocessor to help it out.
I guess most of the angst at the time, if there was any, was probably more aimed at like the executives of Microsoft, if, like the people that – like the suits, if you will, the people that they would probably be most scared of. And I guess with you being right there in the trenches, you could speak the same talk and you were there
still,
to help them succeed.
There was a pretty big feeling at Bungie at the time that they didn't want to be absorbed into Microsoft. They wanted to maintain their culture, and there's definitely a big sense of, you know, us versus them. That got better over time. It essentially was.
It didn't really. We're here. We are an independent company.
It just got better.
Yeah.
But there was something about that group, obviously, that you liked that would lure you over to leave your sort of wide scope job at Microsoft to become just the Bungie guy.
The thing that made the difference for me with Bungie and the reason why I picked shortly after Bungie was acquired, they reorganized the studios and moved the test managers into studios, and so I got to pick the studio I wanted. Was that people were here and they were just crazy about doing stuff they loved and about making it better, not to clock in and clock out. They weren't worried about a review. They weren't worried about their paycheck. They were worried more about bagels, were their chocolate milk, and how awesome could they try to make something.
Do you think that's endemic to smaller studios? Do you think that kind of attitude, the sort of can-do pride in their work is more focused at a smaller studio?
I think it might be a requirement for small studios to exist, but I've certainly worked with plenty of small game studios where that wasn't the case, where for some studios it's a job.
To be fair, there's big organizations. I know there's guys over at EA and stuff are just as passionate about their stuff as we are here. So I think you can probably have it both ways.
Yeah.
Do we have chocolate milk?
Yeah, we still do.
We do?
Uh-huh. Yeah, but Davina sent a note out that said it was gone bad, so not to drink the stuff from today.
But it's all still in the fridge.
But it's in the fridge. Just don't drink it.
Yeah. Can we make it into something else, like a yogurt? Or
That's probably like a Davina Shauna question.
How involved were you? I imagine you were very involved, because I remember a long time ago hearing the story of Halo 1's first E3 showing and how it was a complete disaster. And if it didn't crash, it at least had huge frame rate issues. And Ed Fries personally at the time afterwards had told me about what he called the Halo Apology Tour, where between E3 and Xbox launch, they had to go out on an aggressive roadshow to prove to media and to critics that the game was actually good.
Right.
Therefore, the platform was good. But were you there at that E3?
And I was there at the E3, yeah.
Was it one of the worst, scariest things of all time?
It was dropping frames and tearing. It was horrible. And it was it just wasn't ready. It was so early in the port cycle, I mean, because the team started out with a PC Mac engine, and then all of a sudden they're absorbed by Microsoft, and we're like, I think we just got the Xbox hardware switching from the alpha development kits to the beta kits around E3, and it just wasn't ready to put. I think it was 8 station multiplayer they put up as a demo, and they just, you know, as a demo on the screens for people to watch, and the industry reaction was really, Microsoft doesn't understand what a console game is from the Halo demo, because it was pushed and pushed hard, and everybody was walking by and they're like, frame rate shouldn't be a problem on a console game. Like, it just can't happen. If that's your console, if you're taking all the issues you have on the PC and bringing it to the console world, you might as well go home. And it was – and forecast dive for the game and dive for the console, and it was all
crazy.
Gloom.
Yeah, my how things changed.
Yeah.
But that whole process was roughly a little over a year from the time when Bungie showed up with PC legacy code between then and when the Xbox launched. I mean, there wasn't a lot of time to cram to basically rebuild a significant portion of the game, right?
I mean, it built the whole game.
And the whole thing came together, even within that year, probably realistically like the last 2 months. Two or three months, right?
Halo 1 was a good probably 6.5-7 months of crunch that was, you know, I'd say average 6 days a week. Halo 2 was worse, but.
And for none of us obviously were here back then, but I mean, did the team expect it to turn out the way it did and to be?
Well, the funny thing was we barely got stayed with 8 player or stayed with multiplayer on it, because we were having disconnects all the time, and we were like, yeah, it's got to have a LAN. There's no internet play. How many people are going to play multiplayer anyway? And we literally ended up with the test team hooking up debuggers to as many – like, as we moved as many machines into the – we took this conference room offline and put 8 Xboxes in it. And we used to always have to go kick people out, because we'd come in the morning, there'd be people that are playing the game all night. But hook up debuggers to every single one, and wait for it to crash and then figure out what the out of sync was. And like, we literally, it came down to the last, I don't know the exact day, but it was like, it was the last week or 2 weeks that we could take a change where we were like, we might have to cut multiplayer. We might have to drop it to like 2-player or 4-player.
Jeez.
And like everyone sitting around being an arbitrary statistician. How many people play this anyway?
12.
Well, that was it was a real surprise. It was a real surprise how many people were willing to actually like have a LAN party.
Well, yeah. I mean, you weren't until, I remember this specifically, the time that they sold that as a big feature because there was no live.
Right.
Like, but you can link up boxes for LAN, and we were like, great. Yeah. Like, who's going to do that?
Who has a hub and a network cable?
Yeah. But we did.
The thing, as soon as there was a game that made it worthwhile, and all you had to do was hear about it, and you're like, maybe I will try that. And then,
well, it was still way easier and cheaper than PC LANs at the time, which had a much higher barrier for people.
I mean, I was 20, 21 years old in college, and we would just plug in. We would just plug into the college network,
right. Well,
and you could
could
play with anyone in your dorm. Yeah. So you'd have these massive Halo games, and it was awesome.
Yeah, and now here you are.
I know, magic.
If Harold and the guys didn't sack up and make multiplayer, you probably wouldn't be here today.
I know, right?
Well, hell, I don't think any of us would, right? Who knows?
So I heard that there was a late change in Halo Combat Evolved that changed the damage in the pistol and doubled it. And no one has ever fessed up to what was this change and when did it happen?
I'm not aware of that late change.
I thought you're the gatekeeper of all late changes.
What about this? Do you remember a won't fix?
Where someone was like, oh, shit, it's too strong?
What I expected to happen, not die from all the way across blood gods.
What did happen?
Reproduce did 5 die. Out of 5.
Yeah. No, I think we've talked about that before. I mean, I've heard stories, too. And probably Jason maybe is the only guy that could really tell you what happened there. But
well, that's never going to happen.
I don't know. It seems like one of those weird things where the changes were made for one reason and it had unintentional outcome of becoming this death machine that then created a cult following of people that only loved Halo because of the pistol. So I don't know. It was like a happy accident.
The good thing is the pistol's coming back.
You heard it right there, studio manager. Anybody can make that promise. Harold can.
What?
You can't edit that either.
No, I'm not. I'm good. I'm going to leave it in.
You don't have to explain it.
No, actually, I don't even know what it means.
Actually, I know what it means. The pistol's back right now with Xbox Ultimate's Halo Combat Evolved. It's available for download on Marketplace right now. So,
if you have an HD DVD burner.
The pistol is back. No, you can download the full game. What do you mean?
It's true. The pistol is back. It just doesn't have live play.
That's what you meant, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, the other there's other stuff about Harold that I also think very interesting, even predating his Microsoft stuff. Like at one point when you were sharing your stories about being a forest firefighter on the front lines in Western Washington, like I wonder how much of that actually also helps you to now wrangle this team down here. There has to be some similarities in the two. Neither one of them is easy. I don't know if maybe working managing Bungie
is
deadly necessarily
smoking conflagration which can't be stopped. Another one is a forest fire.
Yeah, it was definitely the case of when I pay my way through school, I worked as an industrial sandblaster and a slash and burn firefighter, and for a while as a construction laborer. And so there was, I definitely got used to working hard and not afraid to do what it took to get stuff done. So.
And sometimes that means throwing down.
Sometimes it means throwing down.
It's true. Like the time when he took the marketing product manager at the time from Microsoft.
I think we can identify that gentleman, Mr. Cameron Payne from GameTap.
I think it's clear that Cameron tackled me to the floor.
He did instigate it. I saw it.
Oh, yeah. He started it. He knows
unfortunately,
that.
We landed on his head.
Both of you.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a little rough.
And,
but
we still had – did we ever get that cracked tile? We have these concrete tiles on the floor, and it literally cracked like Conan. It just hit with a hammer.
Yeah. His
we had to get it replaced.
But the best is Cameron telling the stories when he went back. I mean, whatever. You guys were amicable about it. It was just an accident. You were goofing around.
Well,
but
no. Harold was amicable, and Cam was in shock.
Well,
remember when he walked out?
He had a concussion. He had a mild concussion, sure. But when he stumbled back into the Redmond offices of Microsoft, everyone was like, oh, my God, dude, what happened? And he's like, oh, fucking Bungie. And I thought there was going to be this big rumble and throwdown because Cameron said people over there were getting all rallied up and literally thought Cameron was assaulted. And it's like they were all going to come over here and storm our building. And it never happened. But
and Cameron did start it. That's
so much. Well, remember, according to Cameron, he did get the takedown on Harold.
Oh, yeah, he got the point.
So he got the point. But, well, only one person has a scar to show.
Yeah, we know how high school rules are.
But, isn't that the one who cries first loses?
One who cries first loses.
I'm just checking.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, at one point in time, you're like the first guy to start working on dedicated graphics processors and APIs and those types of things. And now you have like Armani suits, you're walking the red carpet, and you're like having private launch with Don Matrick and sort of the power people in the industry. So.
One of NextGen.biz's 5 most influential people of the year.
That's true. You're right. Is it a little surreal? I mean, it really hasn't been that. It's happened pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean it's just part of the job. I don't know. It's never been my goal to be on the red carpet or to end up in some interview. But
not the part of the job you hate probably, because I don't – you're not usually I see you happiest in the trenches, like we said, just getting shit done, not necessarily playing the political game that sometimes comes with running a business.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily hate it. I don't mind doing it as part of the job because it is part of the role. But at the same time, it's not my goal. I'm not out seeking to get into the press or to
Well, you are looking for a stylist, I thought, right?
Well,
no, his PA is looking for a stylist on his behalf. Yes.
I do need someone to help me design my toenails because they need new decoration.
Sounds like we could get David Allen on that or something, right?
Just thinking about big yellow toenails is nasty.
How was the there hasn't been a podcast since you guys were at the Spike Awards, has there?
I don't think there has.
How was
there?
That, by the way? I mean, you guys were both down there.
I mean, it was a tightly run ship. It was, it was a good show. There were some things I objected to, and like I thought some interesting things happened at the awards that we didn't prepare for. But, it was what it was, TV awards. I'm pretty sure movie awards are like that too, where the real filmmakers get there and find out that it's always going to be about the celebrities, right? And the difference is that the celebrities are in the films.
So one of the top 5 most influential people in the industry isn't a celebrity in that arena, or what?
I mean, Harold can jump in, but
you and Omarosa got into it again?
We weren't in the we weren't celebrities there. We weren't important to the running of the show. They put us on the red carpet, but every time our celebrity came by, like Attila Tequila, or what was that guy?
Let's be fair, though. If you're watching TV at home, who do you want on television?
Well, if
Frank or Jessica Alba?
Well, but Jessica Alba wasn't there, was she?
I wouldn't have come back.
That's not quite the
caliber. Me complaining about
that's not the caliber of celebrity we're talking about here. I don't think.
But the thing is, though, I sort of agree with Luke. Like, I'd rather watch Pretty People than Ugly People, right? But the thing is,
what
I didn't.
Are you saying about Harold
tuned
and
in
yourself?
To watch Tila Tequila. They tuned in, presumably, to watch a video game awards show and vote for or root for their favorite game. So they probably wanted to hear the BioShock guy's speech. They didn't get to hear that, not because of Spike TV, but because of something else that happened. but that's why those people tuned in. Nobody tuned in to see, the Foo Fighters in the halftime show. They tuned in to see a video game awards show, although the Foo Fighters rocked. So.
Yeah, Foo Fighters were awesome.
That would have been the best part, probably,
yeah,
for
it was.
Me. Maybe as our industry matures, we'll eventually have our own sort of like Golden Globe style ritzy event that's just about the people in the industry.
Right.
Until the writers go on strike.
I doubt it.
I mean, that's the beauty of the internet. You can just broadcast this stuff at a more focused level and not worry about the celebrity or the advertising. So maybe it should be a show that the industry holds and controls.
We should. I should ask Harold the question that we've been asking everybody about some of your all-time favorite games, because I happen to know that you're a self-professed hardcore ex-MMO addict, I think, if I recall.
What?
Hardcore.
What?
Like,
you're like an old-school EverQuest
butt sweat
guy?
You were banned and kicked off of servers for devious behavior. And
I've only been banned from Dark Ages of Camelot and
Scripts.
Sorry. And once or twice from Star Wars Galaxies. But
what was your Star Wars Galaxies class?
I don't remember. It was classes are so useless.
You weren't like a hairstylist,
Tauntaun farmer.
No,
that's not even a thing.
I know.
I spent all my character time in Galaxies as a scripted miner running around mining. So
scripted. You mean you dedicated your life to
nowadays? No, that's
I wrote an automation bot that ran my character around and found ore. And,
well, how
and
do you how do you feel nowadays in modern MMOs? That stuff's all been outsourced. Like those are all jobs that have gone overseas.
You mean the body?
I mean gold farming. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, the now that I can afford the $1.50 it costs to buy what takes you 3 years to earn in a game, I'm a strong supporter of gold farming.
You should get back into MMOs then. Time's now.
You dabbled in WoW when it first came out, if I recall, right?
Yeah, I got
a little bit at the studio. I remember you were playing like really early in the morning. You'd play for like an hour a day.
Yeah. Level 50 character, from what I'm aware of, is not dabbling.
Well, Manshatter only made it to level one, right? So
Manshatter never made it past level two.
Manshatter had a forced name change applied to him also.
Manshatter.
You never heard about Frank's first WoW experience?
I got in a fight with a WoW mod.
He named a guy named Manchowder and like got on the Zeppelin, flew to like a level 40, 50 zone as a level one guy and like jumped out.
No, it wasn't
like,
even a real zone. It hadn't been created yet.
He broke the game immediately.
But like they shouldn't have let me jump out of the stupid vault, right? Anyway.
You gave WoW Game of the Year that year, right?
It was magical.
Oh, no. Well, at least you're consistent.
Yeah. But no, but seriously, though, so I know you play a lot of EverQuest, but what are some of your top all-time any platform? Like we usually say excluding Bungie games because, of course, those always make our top favorites, but not including Halo and Bungie right. Classics.
I think one of my favorite games is Masters of Orion. Even though I had to play it on a slow-ass 386 computer, which meant on I forget what they called it, whether it was large or largest size galaxy or huge galaxy and difficult. It took about 10 minutes for it to update every turn and then redraw the screen.
Did you have a boot disk for that, or you had to configure your HiMem sys and some of those types of things? This is before your time.
Actually, that was part of my beer fund in college came from optimizing the load order for people's computers so they could play video games on the machine.
It used to be really challenging, Luke. It wasn't just a plug and play that you enjoy nowadays.
Yeah, you had to look at the size of what was being loaded and load them in the right order so they'd fit and strip out anything you didn't need for the particular.
Are we still talking about games? You're with me, right? You're thinking the same thing, right?
You're always thinking that, dude.
Yeah.
Go hit the ATM and make a withdrawal.
And then based on time played, I'd probably have to say EverQuest, even though that was a horrible addiction for me.
Were you in a super guild? Like FOH or I'm trying to think of who the other ones were. Were you in one of the super guilds?
We were the second guild on our server, not the first, but we did pretty well. Unfortunately, it was a guild where you had to basically play about 40 hours a week to stay in good standing, and that was 40 hours a week of raids, so you had to spend another 20 hours a week to keep your level up. And unfortunately for me, I was a paladin, which meant I couldn't invis, I couldn't speedrun, I couldn't teleport. So I was basically screwed. I had to get somebody to take me to the raid and get somebody to take me out. And that basically means you have to get there an hour early and you can't leave until the very end.
Oh, you're like a kid with no car.
Yeah. Yeah. Kid with no car, and the only place you can buy beer is on the other side of town.
So how long did EverQuest life cycle did you play? Like through all the plane stuff, or when did you stop?
I don't know what that means.
I played for about the first 3 years of EQ1.
Wow.
And I logged just about 2 years of game time.
When I was
played.
Oh my God. when I was working.
Some of that was your automated farming, though.
I don't think so.
What I used to do for EQ, like on the, I would schedule when I was gonna go drive from work to my house, based on when the servers were going down for the patches, and so.
Oh my God!
Wow, it's hardcore. Wow.
And then. Yeah, so you'd basically do you'd plan your life around when the server would be down. If a server crashed, then I'd take a nap, set an alarm to wake me up in 15 minutes in case the server was back up.
That's like how it was when I played WoW. It was the same thing.
Did you ever have to? Did you ever actually wear Depends or something for a marathon session? I'm just asking. Definition of hardcore.
I've always been able to I could typically sit in a bar and drink for 4 or 5 hours without having to go to the bathroom. So just.
It's a good factoid. I didn't know that.
Just sitting playing a game without consuming lots of alcohol, I can I can play for a good 8-10 hours without having to have a break. And
wow. So EverQuest isn't one of your favorite games ever, or it is on your list?
It was one of my favorite games, but it's nothing I'll ever play again.
They just restarted too. Last year they restarted EQ1, like reopening all the zones again one at a time. Like you could go to like legacy servers and then have to rekey for all the zones and unlock the stuff as it goes. You guys should pay attention to this stuff. It's interesting.
Yeah.
No, I heard you. Not so much. Speaking of favorite games, it's sort of off topic. But didn't you design your house using Doom?
Well, I scaled it in Visio first, and then built it out of Legos to scale, and then I built it in Doom, and then Quake, and
Pretty cool. It actually has a jump pad.
It's
in it.
And a space dungeon.
But you actually know, on his roof, you can get to the BFG with a well-placed rocket jump.
Funny thing is, I actually found an architectural, like a design issue in the house because one of the stairs, it has a couple levels from the garage into the house, and the stairs was designed one step higher than it should have been, and so I built it to scale off of the architect's drawings, and I kept hitting my head every time running up the stairs, and that made me double check the plans and took them back to the architect, and then it was actually an error, and they had to go change the design
That was probably one Sev one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm working on building my summer home in Foundry and Forge right now.
Oh, you mean the crate house?
The docks.
The docks. Yeah. That was good. I mean, it helped too. You know, you could put it up and texture it, look at the view out the windows and things like that. So it wasn't.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was a good tool for that.
Should we ask Harold the hard but obvious questions about what's next for the future of Bungie?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's changed between last year and this year? And I know you can't say a whole lot on that, but we'd probably be remiss for not at least asking those questions.
Sure. You know, as things go, we're certainly looking at, you know, maintaining the people having fun on Xbox Live playing Halo with our releasing map packs and looking at how we can address hoppers and game balance for people as they're going through and getting into the games and game types they like. And then, of course, working on a couple of games that'll be a lot better than Halo 3 that'll come out in the next some number of years.
Ooh. Are you going to fix Melee?
Melee's already fixed.
Pistol's back. Melee's already fixed. You're going to have to deal with that editing this one.
No, I'm leaving it. It's good. Let them wander.
But yeah, team's been working on a bunch of fixes for quite some time. All sorts of little things that you won't notice, but a few gameplay issues we're addressing.
Well, some of the biggest questions I think we consistently get are, is Bungie going to start making games for other platforms? What's your thought on that?
At this point, we aren't working on anything that's designed for another platform. But the thing about designing a game is that, you know, the first step is coming up with compelling story and gameplay that's fun. And that's really, except for maybe handheld controls, for the most part, independent of the platform a game goes on. It's really not till you get into architecture and schedule for shipping that you really set the platform. So there's nothing precluding us from designing a game that would run on some other platform. But right now, we still are really focused on supporting Halo 3 and doing the right thing for all the fans that bought the game.
Any more progress on getting that Warthog shipped over here from New Zealand?
No, they're still having trouble figuring out what to do with it. Though I did just buy enough property that we could drive it off road, which might be a reason to get it, because the blocker before was there's no way they'd make it street legal.
Yeah, it's fine.
You're a land baron.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we didn't even talk about that. I mean, your favorite game is a real life game of shooting game, right?
Sure.
And you're an avid hunter.
Which is why our next game will be Halo Hunter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just to replace the wildebeest. And
I remember back when we were shooting some of the birds and wildlife in Halo 3.
Yeah.
And at one point, I think it was too late, but thought it'd be cool to have a little meta component, which we didn't get to do. But
right.
You tried to sneak some hunting into
Halo 3. I tried to sneak some in, yeah. Didn't quite get to the, you know, accurate sound effects for bullet impacts and things like that. But we'll work on that for the
next one. You saw we have the laser tag weapon just arrived today. We have a one plasma rifle, plasma pistol.
I didn't notice that. Any noises? So.
Yeah, and luckily everybody in the team one by one has come upstairs at separate intervals to experiment and blow them and shoot them all. But What about a real hunting rifle modeled after like a battle rifle or an assault rifle? Maybe we could reach out to Remington or one of those companies.
Yeah, I think if Remington wanted to design one, I'd be happy to help them set it up and test it out. Yeah.
That's the thing. I've never met anyone who doesn't actually like shooting a gun once they get it.
Yeah.
Like nobody ever squeezes that trigger and says, "Oh, that wasn't fun. I don't want to do that again." But
you know, my favorite hunting rifle right now is actually a Remington 300 Ultramag. So. It's a good gun.
So Luke just stepped out and picked up it's not a prototype. That's the finished
model. Yeah, this is it. We got one of each of these things. This is the plasma pistol complete with an overcharge component, which
It sounds great in my world. It sounds great in my ear.
And then watch. Wait for it.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. It overcharges, and then the little thing flips up, and you have to, like, flick it back down.
There you go. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It sounds better than that in real life, actually. The way it's going to come through the mic.
No!
I can start using that sound to bleep people or something.
You know, remember when we first got the prototypes for these things, though? They were so big you couldn't even put your hand around them or lift it.
Yeah, it was enormous.
They made them literally to scale for like a 7'2" elite.
Yep.
Now they're about 30% smaller. Turned out pretty good. We got anything else for Harold? The downstairs is probably in Ryan's Lord of the Flies style right now.
Marty's got the con.
40 minutes, Marty's in charge.
Oh, no. Marty's at the wheel.
Cats are sleeping with dogs.
All wings, pull up. So we will take a quick break then, and thanks to Harold for stopping by. And we'll be right back with Paul Bertone to talk about a bet that I lost.
Oh, yeah, you lost the bet.
Oh, yeah. Did you notice Luke's got a pseudo faux hawk right now?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it looks great. It's awesome. I'm really excited about it. Thanks, Randy
Moss.
What
are you going to do with that hawk?
Oh, it's staying just like that until the end of the day. Yeah, right. Then it's going away.
I thought it had to stay like that until the end of the game on Sunday.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, that's
no, the right. Next bet they're making involves getting his tips frosted.
There's no next There's no next bet. There's no next bet, and we'll talk about why when we get back right after the break. And we're back from a break that didn't have any commercials because we haven't sold any. And we're back. And Paul Bertone.
Space on the Bungie podcast.
Paul Bertone, the mission design lead on Halo 3, has come up and he's brought a plate with him. And on the plate is Crow. And this is the part where I get to eat it for a bet that Paul and I made earlier in the season, which actually.
Ridiculous bet.
It was a. I had three things in my advantage. Like, you set a pretty harsh bet, like three pretty challenging criteria. I mean, 90 catches, I think it was 1,200 yards or so, and then 20 touchdowns. 90 catches and 20 touchdowns, I felt pretty good on. Didn't expect Randy Moss to have the greatest season since Jerry Rice, who did it and who caught 22 touchdowns in 12 games.
It's a little ridiculous. I'm not going to lie.
But I don't think there was any penalty.
I had a premonition.
I don't think there was any penalty for you losing either, though, because the bet was so ridiculous.
In retrospect, it was a pretty weak bet. I mean, all he had to do was brush his hair for a day.
This the problem with radio or podcasting is you can't see how pathetic this bet turned out. So Luke is supposed to have a fauxhawk, and it's, honestly, just looks like he rolled out of bed.
Slightly more messed up than it usually is.
Yeah, nobody noticed.
Lee Wilson came up.
You see Luke walking through the office during the day, and usually it's like the back of his hair that's like sticking up and all messed up and stuff.
Because he slept on it.
Yeah, now it's just the front of his hair is all sticking up and messed up. So
he said he's not going to take any more bets with you against the Pats.
No, I'm sorry.
He's scared. He knows.
I mean, it's not even that. By my record, Luke is down 0-2, right?
Between the bets and the Colts loss?
No,
yeah.
Between the Pats and between the...
Beat the designer challenge on CR117? How quickly Luke forgets about that.
No. I can't beat Bertone at anything. He's like the Patriots of Bungie.
He doesn't even talk to me when I see him. I'm like, Luke, what's up? And he's like...
Luke, bring me a Rock Band tomorrow. Yes, okay.
Yeah, I know. And, it's at my desk.
Luke, bring me your NFL ticket.
I know, exactly. Luke, I'm not getting the game. Can I come over your house?
Little bitch. Yeah, why did you, seriously, why you gotta?
Because my manager doesn't protect me from that.
Paul's like the big bulldog, and Luke's like the little dog that jumps around him. Like, hey, Spike, hey, Spike.
I'll step in as your manager. Can you not bitch out Luke? I just look at it. It's pathetic.
I know. You're not used to it, are you?
So
you ask him to do something, and he's like, "F you."
No, he just like hey, I just Luke. Never thought to take advantage of it. Like,
gonna do picks.
Oh yeah,
the picks part for, where we act like sports
picks,
commentators
picks for the weekend.
Like we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, sure, why not?
I watched Inside the NFL last night just to prepare for this.
Nice,
dude. I'm not a huge football buff, but it's hard not to get excited about the playoffs.
I'm a little nervous, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Playoffs are always nerve-wracking.
Well, your Pats were a unanimous favorite, but there's a little small movement out there that's thinking
you
that.
You think it's a small movement, huh?
I think that the Jags
I've heard
are,
one or two people are unhappy with the Pats. That's what I heard. Three quarters
of the nation.
The Jags are like the chic pick to beat the Patriots. They're like, the commentators are like, if any team's going to do it, it's going to be Jacksonville. Like, no, it's not. It's not going to be Jacksonville this weekend. Of the teams it could be any, but I just don't think the Patriots can be stopped.
This is Luke's reverse psychology.
You're on the bandwagon now.
All year he's been like, they're going to lose. They suck. They're going to lose. And it just hasn't worked.
I just want to hope hard that I can jinx them.
Yeah.
I actually kind of wouldn't mind just seeing them complete the – get the full –
because then it's going to be against the Cowboys, and you do not want to see that game. A Cowboys Patriots Super Bowl. I'm not watching it. I'm not watching it.
I'm gonna go watch Cloverfield again.
I don't think the Cowboys are gonna pass the Giants this week.
So
actually, I've seen some splits on that. Some people are leaning towards an upset there.
Yeah.
So you're taking
I'm going with Giants.
I think Cowboys are going to be potentially missing a fully healthy T.O.
Yep. Yep.
There's some concern
I don't think you have to worry about it. He'll be there.
Paul's nervousness is sort of justified, though, because much as the Patriots have had an outstanding season, there's a few games where they've kind of been beaten on paper. Like, you're watching the game, you're like, okay, the Ravens got them. What could go wrong? About. And then God steps in.
What about the Simpson factor?
Gives Brady superpowers.
It's not God. We've talked about it up here. Satan. It's this look. It's the Satan look where the chips are down. All of a sudden, the camera shows Tom Brady. He looks like he's about to go cheat on his girlfriend who he's got a baby
flame
with.
Of evil. Man. And then the next thing that's you know,
it.
They won.
Yeah. Yep.
Luke's got serious issues with Tom Brady.
He's right. That's all he ever talks about.
I know.
Tom Brady and his hot self and models.
So then damn him and his flexing biceps.
So I go home.
And 6'6" of him. Damn it.
I go home. I think
the Hawks kind of turning him bi curious.
And my mom is...
There's nothing wrong with that, by the way, if anyone's listening.
And my mom is talking about how much she likes Tom Brady. My own mother.
Yes. Tranny surprise.
Just... What?
What the hell?
I don't even know what that means.
You shouldn't be thinking about it. That's something for us to think about.
Yes, Tom Brady is like the old Joe Montana.
So who are you taking? You're taking Giants or Cowboys, Brian?
I think I probably still will take the Cowboys at home.
Frank?
I just think Romo's going to pull out some bullshit and wreck the Super Bowl for me, so I got to pick Cowboys just because I know he's trying to wreck the Super Bowl.
Just not liking Tony Romo, huh?
It's a place for ribs.
Have you ever had the Sweet Carolina Honeys, though? They're really good.
I just think that I'm so cursed for a horrible Super Bowl that the Cowboys are going to just go all the way.
Well, what's your ideal Super Bowl matchup?
Well, obviously it's going to be my ideal Super Bowl matchup would be Seahawks-Patriots and we win, but it isn't going to happen. But that would – I mean, if you're asking me what I would like in a magical
wonderland.
I have
a question for you first, Frank.
Right.
What shape is the football in American football?
It's the same shape as a rugby ball.
Just want to make sure you're thinking about the right
spot. When the running back,
I mean, obviously that's what I'd like to see, but it isn't going to happen. But
when the running back can cut up the pitch, it's very exciting for you.
But I don't want to see a Cowboys New England game because I won't be able to root for either party.
Why not? Why you got to be a hater?
I hate the Patriots because they're pretty boy do-gooders that win everything. I mean, that's natural. That's three quarters.
Three
quarters of America.
You hate them because they're from New England, right? And there's
I hate them because New England isn't a state,
right?
So that is it's corporate. That's what it is. The New England Patriots are corporate. And the Cowboys, I hate for the same reason everyone else hates the Cowboys. It's totally legitimate hatred.
It's America's team.
America.
I thought they wanted to like secede and be Texas.
So.
I'm taking the Cowboys. You're
taking the Cowboys.
The Manning brothers have never won in the playoffs on the same Sunday. Eli Manning just got his first win last week, and this week is not going to be the week that it changes.
That's not a good statistic, though. That's not a pattern.
Where'd you hear that one from?
No, I just thought of it now.
The Manning brothers comparative stats.
That's so, like a total of four best games. Friends outside of Bungie.
You're reading the sporting news downstairs in the can before the show, aren't you?
I'm taking the Colts and the Colts Bulls guys.
Wait, what was your Dallas pick?
I picked the Giants.
Oh, okay.
I picked the Giants. Go against the grain there. All sense of judgment, Giants. I think Strahan's just playing ridiculous.
I think he's just hopeful because he doesn't want to face the Cowboys. Maybe
that's
they scare
true.
Him.
I don't think it'd be a good Super Bowl.
All right, I'm switching it now. If the Cowboys get to the Super Bowl, I have to watch it. So I'm going to choke. I have to go with the Patriots in a Super Bowl of Patriots Cowboys.
He's like our own John Kerry.
I know.
It's Colts and Bolts. Who do you got, Paul?
I'm going to go with Colts.
That's right. Sounds good music.
San Diego just...
No, you play as the Chargers in Madden, Brian. What's your
team? Well, they're a little bit different when I get to control them, and I have like the best running back in the league on my side. You know, I'd like to see San Diego win. I'm not a big Colts fan. I tell you that all the time. But I think they got their one win. They're happy, and I don't think they're going to be able to do it again.
Yeah, it's Colts.
Jacksonville and New England? Yeah, I know. Put you down for New England. Does anyone think Jacksonville's going to win?
I don't even think it'll be close.
I don't think they are, but I think they could.
Okay, that's
I'm still
sad.
Calling.
Wow, that's a strong prediction.
What does that mean?
It comes back to watching three or four games where it looked like defeat was nigh.
Talking on IM going, oh my God, it's going to happen. I can't wait. We got to go. Let's go to Meijer right now and get jerseys, Steelers jerseys, Ravens jerseys, Eagles jerseys, whatever it takes to wear them to the office tomorrow just to piss Bertone off. Let's bathe his kiosk in green Eagles colors. Let's go. And then AJ feelings.
It's the sign of a great football team. Find ways to win.
Seattle and Green Bay, a game I don't really care about because the Seahawks have no chance of winning.
I think the whole Seahawks team should wear the heated obsession. Pants. Did you hear about that?
No.
Apparently,
our kicker's wearing 75-degree heated pants.
Is it the punter or the kicker? One of them.
Really?
It doesn't really matter. He's wearing some crazy heated pants thing because he's afraid of the cold or something like that.
Speaking of, curious.
I don't know why they announced that, and I don't know why people are making such a big deal out of it. Like, if we win, they'll claim we cheated if there's any kicking, right? So,
how can you say you don't care about
heated
the game?
Pants?
You're
and
a huge
ball. Come on,
you're a huge frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
I love Brett Favre, and I think that Brett Favre and the Seahawks are going to win. But that said,
you think Brett Favre and the Seahawks are
the
going to win?
Packers?
What? Wow, is he helping us?
he has in the
is
playoffs.
Is he forming
before.
A gun dam?
If he drops back and throws the ball up like he's playing 500 on the school playground, he's going to help you guys.
Yeah. This is a tough pick. I haven't seen a lot of Green Bay. But
statistically, it's almost impossible for Seahawks to win at Packers.
So are you taking Frank?
I'm still taking Seahawks. Never say die.
I'm going to go with the Packers.
Gerard?
I'm taking the Packers, too. I just don't think Sean Alexander has had a really good last few games.
Well, there's not really a whole lot of division.
The Seahawks' defense is the wild card in this. If they just step up.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, like, they can make plays. They can do big things.
But Brett Favre starts throwing it like he's
starts throwing
rookie again.
So as a diehard Pats fan, who would you be most worried about matching up against if you guys go to the Super Bowl? Who do you think's the biggest risk opponent?
I'd probably say the Packers.
It'd be like the storybook.
Yeah, hell of a game.
It'd be
hard to decide who to root for there.
Yeah, I think Brett Favre would have an amazing game in the Super Bowl.
It would just
Frozen
be like the storybook
of Arizona.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Packers defense does match up really well.
They do with
the Patriots. They've got two physical corners, and that's when Moss, Stallworth, and Welker had problems was against the Eagles, and the Eagles have those two big physical corners.
Have you sim these games in Madden yet?
I haven't. I've got to set the sliders just right.
Okay. You haven't done the prediction yet?
What?
Is Madden still doing its like annual predictions?
Yeah, they do the I have no idea. It's probably
we can look it up this today, right? Because they would have done it already for this weekend.
They should have.
So. Yeah.
But I guess we weren't going to record a full show next week, but we could probably come and do a quick quick sports
a special
theme. Yeah.
Yeah.
NFL playoffs.
We'll see if I'm up for that.
Playoffs.
No. Oh no, Paul.
We hate to drag you into the office.
Yeah, so. No, we're more interested in getting you in if you're less interested in coming.
But so in the entire playoffs, who's the team you're most worried about? Who's the biggest threat?
Indianapolis. Yeah. It's just always a battle. It's always a 3-point game.
It's the best rivalry in sports.
Bringing over rock band at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I heard you've been rocking out.
You've been killing the drums, man.
That's trying good. To just for that fun, or you did you already catch wind that that's going to be part of our winter pentathlon?
No, I didn't. I didn't know that. Training. I heard that. I heard that today.
It is. It will be.
Is it just? Is it the whole? So you got to get a singer and everything.
Full band. That's right. Man, yes,
that's
sir.
A little ridiculous.
You'll be okay. You're probably on Ancients. Chucky's been playing a lot of Rock Band too. Getting gearing up. Yeah, he'll be fine.
So you're singing. No, are you just doing some singing at home by yourself?
Yeah.
Maps.
Yeah.
Single.
Halfway through the game last night, karaoke. No.
I can't really see Bertone doing the singing at his house. Yeah. I just don't think.
The vocal career
by
yourself.
Drums, bass, guitar, drums, yes. Yeah. Bertone standing there jamming with the mic. I don't see it.
That's a little ridiculous. I did beat Guitar Hero 3 last night, though.
Nice.
Which difficulty?
Gosh, medium.
Yeah, me too.
Game's hard on. I think the game's really tough on medium.
Yeah,
and going up any higher than that, it becomes ridiculously
pretty
hard.
Pretty tough. I was watching some videos of some people playing one on expert.
I think Rock Band scales a little more gradually.
Do that.
It doesn't get so hard so fast. I think
because
I can actually complete songs on hard on guitar and Rock Band, not on guitar.
It doesn't feel as difficult. Rock Band doesn't, but. Whatever. And the drums are so overpowering. We were playing CJ and I'm like the drummer, and he's just, every time I mess up, he's messing up on the guitar because you can't hear anything.
Yeah, but start following the drummer.
Oh, because you just keep hearing the tapping.
When somebody's just beating on the drums, you can't hear anything.
Well,
when
I play
start, when messing up, you get out of tune.
I play
when
in four
bass,
sound
you start
booths.
Syncopating with them as well. It's just really bad. And you're just like, no.
At my house, I actually set up four sound booths, a recording studio. So we're
excellent.
All isolated with some cans on. Yeah,
nice.
It works out pretty good.
I guess.
Well, the NFL that's minute awesome. Turned into the NFL 30 minute.
Yeah,
but,
that's fine.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Well, people.
I want to thank all the thousands of New England fans out there that have been emailing Luke just constantly. Let's not let up on that. Keep that going. Even after the season's done, we'll find something else that we can keep bothering Luke about. Because he doesn't
you guys,
have anything else to
well,
do. He just
Luke
wants
still
to
still has to face off in campaign scoring against for the rest of the game, which he hasn't really in any hurry to do
here's
that.
Here's the thing, right?
I was so demoralized.
I broke him. He's broken ever since that day.
It's it.
Does anything I want.
Well,
it's like when you're training a horse.
like prison style. You're right.
Shawshank.
Bungie's a little bit more like an episode of Oz.
Hey, look. There's always Cortana. All right, Paul's other mission. So you could shine.
That's a
I
tough
was
one. To
some awesome forum thread or two those. About that. They're so good, man.
Yeah, they're really into that level. They're really excited about playing it.
What were they thinking? Blah, blah, blah. And I just want to repost and be like, yeah, week and a half of work. Thank you very much.
Well.
Now, speaking of super popular American pastime sports, have you heard of the latest trend sweeping the nation?
No, what's this?
It's called griffball.
Griffball?
Yes.
Yeah?
Words can't even begin to describe the sheer amount of enjoyment and intensity.
Who came up? Who built that?
It was Red vs. Blue guys.
Really?
The first day that Foundry and the DLC was released, they came up with some. They used the Foundry as the arena, and they used the game type variants to make the rules. And out of the box, it was already amazingly fun and
sweet.
Awesome. Yeah, you should owe it to yourself to check it out. I think we're actually going to add it to our pentathlon lineup this year. So.
We should build a DLC that's a football field in scale.
We should have talked to Harold about that while he's in here making
he
all kinds of other promises.
He's making all kinds of wacky promises.
Yeah. Harold's just kind of shooting from the hip right now.
Yeah, he says you have to go put pistol in.
I don't think he's putting a lot of thought behind
it. What? He had a business lunch at the Central.
I mean, yeah, I know.
He's like, oh, I'll be on the podcast. Let me go have a couple beers first.
We encourage him to do that, though.
Yeah. Hope What's today? Might. Thursday? Is that what it is? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thursday's yeah. business lunch at the Central day.
Nice.
So anybody that wants to get a good word in with the Bungie studio manager, business lunch at the Central.
12 to 2 at the
Can we get some ad revenue from those guys now?
Yes, seriously, we've got to start mentioning places we eat. I had a delicious Coca-Cola during the show.
Oh, I don't have a do today, but
normally. Yeah. Davina searched for Sarducci's using Google the other day.
No, okay. I'm out of here now.
Yeah. All right,
you
cool.
You guys are making me vomit. Keep emailing Luke.
Hey, speaking of, do you want to quickly talk about your group you're going to form for future podcast feedback?
Oh, yeah. As we continue to sort of grow the group functionality on BungieNet, we're going to set up a Bungie podcast group specifically rather than have forum threads on the Halo 3 forums, which get a little bit unruly. We're just going to open up a separate group, and you can submit all kinds of feedback and give us show ideas and different guests that you want to see. And Frank, Brian, and I will all be reading that pretty regularly to check in and see what people want. And there'll be a new web page for it, and we'll promote it when it's up. And otherwise, I think that's pretty much it for this week. It's kind of I think that's long enough. It's probably like an hour and 10 minutes.
For a long time, yeah.
I'm not trying to be like those 2 hour long podcasts that other gaming sites do, James.
If you want to do like a 4 hour one, you can just have Marty in here every time.
Marty was surprisingly reticent when
he was brief because he was like, I'm only going to talk for as long as I think people will listen.
Yeah, he has some grand Marty theory of podcasting. So,
so we will be back. We'll be back.
No, on that note, though, really quickly before you sign out, I would like to throw out to our listeners if anybody has a submission they'd like to make for us to consider for a new 2008 theme song to the podcast. I think the original Marty jingle's been good to us, but
it's played, yo.
We've outgrown it. It's time to move on. So
it's time to take it out to the pasture.
We are accepting entries for a new Bungie theme song, maybe multiple theme songs. Maybe we'll mix it up and keep it fresh. But if you have something like that, contact us through bungie.net.
And we will be back next week. Thanks.
Bam.
The Bungie Studios podcast is mixed and mastered by Steve Lopez, produced by Tom Giaconda and Chris Gossett, and hosted by Brian Gerard, Frank O'Connor, Luke Smith, and Bungie Studios.